The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
So I'm in my couch, obviously watching the WNBA because I love the game. And I was watching the post-game interviews, and one of the players came out and literally said, I welcome trans athletes in my team any day and every day. And she even said, there's no problem me going against a trans athlete. So I was like, that gave me an idea. I was like, if they don't have any problem with it, why not just go out there and take my shot and try to play basketball in WNBA. I mean, seems like the league itself and plus the players have no problem with it. The WNBA itself, players and especially the coaches are the one that been advocating trans people playing in women's sports. So I'm not sure why am I getting all this backlash. They are the one encouraged me to do this. So for that reason, I want to play basketball.
When it's impossible to tell satire from reality, that's when you know things are bad. But this is how you know things are really bad. When the response of Great Britain to the rape of their women is not, we'll fight them on the beaches, but rather when this guy arrives on the beach to rape our women, we'll give him a pamphlet asking him not to.
Chicago staying in it. Natasha clapped. And right before the break, this was the scene inside Wintrust Arena after Natasha Cloud got that bucket. She wanted her voice heard. We have talked about the conversations surrounding the W. That is Enos Kanter in the building today. And he has voiced how he's felt about the situation. Natasha Cloud voicing her opinion as well. Kanter was just escorted out.
This week, what has been happening in Great Britain has been, well, nothing short of horrifying, and I thought we should go over there and have a look. Now, at this point, the asylum seeker crisis in Britain, the state of it, is well known, as is the havoc these mostly young military-age males from Africa, the Middle East, and Afghanistan cause when they are dumped by authorities into unsuspecting hamlets. But what was revealed this week is just how weak and impotent the UK Labour government's response to this crisis truly is. Indeed, it seems like almost every day there is another horror story out of Britain. Like this one where just a few days ago, two Afghan migrants were charged with raping a 14-year-old girl who was travelling on a train from Kent to London.
We spent some time last week on this program talking about men, the end of men. We've recorded a new Key of David on that subject. And today we want to focus a little more on the women. The nice thing about programs on gender is that you can cover it in two shows. On this show anyway, it doesn't take 30 or 40 or 50. Two shows, we can cover both topics. How about that? And you know why? Because you can look into the Bible and see why God made. He made them male and female from the very beginning, Genesis 1:27. And look at what we're doing to our women, our wives, our daughters. Look at the danger we're exposing them to. Look at the nonsense that they're being given in our popular culture, in education. Here the guy, the former NBA player, says, all right, you want to welcome in trans? You want to play against, do the weaker vessels want to play against men and see their positions on these WNBA teams vanish? All right, I'll take them up on it. Here's this former NBA player, Enos Kanter. He's coming on this show, by the way, in November. As I joked in class this morning, we're going to have quite a lot to talk about. What did he wear at that game last night? It's a T-shirt that said, woman, noun, that is an adult human female. And for that, well, they kick him out of the arena because, of course, You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. Lots and lots to get to. Way, way more notes than I have time for. That's typically the way it is on Monday. And then the shows the rest of the week are a little bit easier as I have so many leftovers from the show. In fact, last week we had quite a bit and clips to go with it on the coming economic crash. That's a huge, huge development. Prophesied. Herbert Armstrong prepared us for it. And you're seeing all of these tremors. It's going to lead to a financial and economic earthquake. And we may not have time to get to all of that on the show today, but we'll get to it this week. It's going to impact you. It's going to impact your nation. It's going to impact the entire world. So Mr. Cantor used to play right downtown in Oklahoma City, by the way. He became a U.S. citizen and some years ago, I think he's from Turkey, and now he's somewhat of a conservative activist. And he really loves America. You know, but kick him out. Look at what he said about women. He said women are adult females. So kick him out of the arena. And what's the woman player? What's she over there gesturing toward him for? What's her point? You hear the announcer talking as if she's a saint. She's just standing up for her rights. She's just out there espousing her views. Well, what views are those? And who should be kicked out? The WNBA, don't get me off too far on this subject, it's destroying itself. And everyone's trying to prop it up with fake money so they can get higher salaries because, you know, they're just like men. They're not weaker vessels. Oh, how dare the Apostle Peter say that? 1 Peter 3 and verse 7. They are the weaker vessels. And that's why there was a time when this was the case. Men went out of their way, even risked their lives to protect their women, their daughters, to defend them. You don't just invite rapists onto your shores and say, hey, just make sure you read this pamphlet. We went through this last week. How insane is this? You're inviting in barbarians and you're putting our women and our children, our daughters in danger. Who does this? Well, an upside down society, a satanic society, a society where we've been educated not by God or the Bible, but by the God of this world. So much confusion, so much godlessness. And yet if you're out there with those views and you amplify those views, well, chances are you're going to be seen as a hero. Yeah, I am so anti-God and anti-Bible and anti-genders of the Bible that I'm going to be propped up by ESPN, by the WNBA. We've had our discussions, some of our news gatherers, about the agenda behind just pushing the WNBA on us as if it's the most popular thing in the world right now. All the ESPN clips and headlines. And what actually are the ratings? How many people actually, aside from seeing Caitlin Clark and her teammate, the one that did the finger point, who else is there to go and watch? Well, they can continue to pretend that it's this runaway success. In fact, they're killing themselves. They're killing the league. And they're pretending to be right on the same level as men. And well, what do you get when you do that? You get an upside down world. You know, we're so far into the extreme now. It's just craziness on display every day. But you know what Mr. Armstrong said so many years ago about the roles is that, well, if you want to brag about a 50-50 relationship, somebody's going to take the lead. So if the men are so weak to step aside and say, listen, our arrangement's different. You see, we've got it completely down the middle, 50-50. And he said many years ago, well, that just means she's running the show. So here we are now, a couple generations later. And look at what we have, not just in the WNBA. Look at across the society that we're in. Look at what's actively promoted, celebrated. Every year, the entire month of June celebrates perversity of the highest order, just the worst of the worst as far as morality goes, as far as gender confusion goes, sex, that's distorted, twisted as well. Obviously, marriage and family, well, that's never celebrated. That's not promoted. Not in a month, not in movies, not in the music that we hear, none of it. That is to be blotted out, the traditional family, traditional marriage, as it's defined in the scriptures. Blot that out and celebrate all of the deviance. Well, we're certainly doing that. 1 Peter 3 and verse 7, let me read it to you. Likewise, you husbands, dwell with them, speaking of women, wives, mothers, dwell with them according to knowledge, according to God's knowledge, obviously. God tells us how to organize a marriage and a family. Dwell with them according to my knowledge. God gives us the instruction in the instruction book. That is the Holy Bible. Dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. Give honor to her. Praise her. Look at how she's described in Proverbs 31, a virtuous one anyway. Look at the praise and the honor that God gives to a precious woman, virtuous in every respect. God made women, and men are putting our women in danger, and men are exposing our women to every kind of deviance, every kind of lifestyle, and we're pretending as if this is normal. This is completely normal. Look at the lifestyles that so many in the WNBA celebrate. It's not traditional marriage between a man and a woman, that's for sure. Not all of them, but most, many. Give honor to the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers not hindered. If you get the roles out of whack, it's going to get in the way of your prayers to God. It's going to get in the way of your relationship to God. We've talked a lot in this semester about not hindering the work, because in the case of the Apostle Paul, that's what he was doing until God struck him down and said, you're fighting against the work. You're fighting against my will. And so stop it. Turn it around. And Paul did. And then, you know, in his first tour, he goes through Cyprus, and this demon-possessed girl was slowing things down, and Paul rebuked the demon, cast out the demon, and in this same exchange says, you're slowing down the work. You got to get out of the way. And later on in the story, John Mark, who was a faithful saint, and learned from the mistake, no doubt, but he abandoned Paul and Barnabas on the first tour that they had. And then when the second tour comes around, Barnabas wanted him to assist them, and Paul said, no. No, you slowed us down in the first tour. God doesn't want us to embrace any knowledge that slows the progress, the growth of the work down, whether it's individual or God's work. He says, dwell with women according to my knowledge, and you'll be happy, and you'll be fruitful, and you can build a marriage and a family for God. We've got a book that goes by the title, The God Family Vision. What a vision there is in family. Now, you can see why, then. Satan conspires against the father, marriage, family, child-rearing, women. The end of men. You could say the same thing about women, sad to say. Do we dwell with our women according to knowledge? Do we honor them? Do we protect them? Do we provide for them? In many cases, we don't. Instead, we expose them to grave danger, to perversion. And we think a pamphlet, not the Holy Bible, we think a pamphlet made by the Home Office. Oh, yes. These are the elites in government, and they know how to correct all the problems and ills of our society. Yeah, send them the precious pamphlet. Look at how far removed we are from God's word, from the truth, from God's laws. Proverbs 31 and verse 10, it says, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies." Today, you can't even find a virtuous woman. And when you do, she is attacked mercilessly. You stand up for women. Here's a guy wearing a t-shirt defining a woman, and he's kicked out. And people in the crowd are actually jeering him. Not her. No, certainly not. They love it upside down. I presume the players, most of them, love it upside down. And they hate someone coming in with a biblical definition of what a woman is. And he just had it say an adult human female. What if you had some subtitles underneath that, you know, referencing 1 Peter 3:7, Ephesians 5, Genesis 1:27. Should I go on? How long do you think he'd last if he was wearing a t-shirt like that? Dwell with them, God says, according to knowledge. God tells you how wonderful, how beautiful, how complimentary the weaker vessel is. God tells you why he made them from the beginning, to be a complement, a support, a help. As I said in class this morning, we've all been called to be helpers. And so in the church, in God's true church, happy for us, we get to learn that role in the spiritual sense, the bride of Christ level. And our wives, our physical wives, they're even closer to that spiritual role in a day-by-day sense of carrying out their responsibilities, their duties as a complement. In that way, they're closer to that specific role than even physical men are. But we're all going to be at that level. The weaker vessel to Jesus Christ. The support, the complement to Jesus Christ. Paul said at the end of Ephesians 5, this is a great mystery, marriage and the way God's organized it, the roles that he instituted. It's a great mystery, but I'm speaking of Christ and the church. What a vision. Jesus Christ and the church, the bride. You see why these roles come under attack? Vicious attack from Satan the devil. He hates marriage and family. He hates the traditional Bible-ordained, Bible-defined roles in marriage and family. He hates it. He loves it when the family is twisted and distorted and upside down, and where the women rule and the children oppress and the fathers are gone. They've gone missing, just like it's described in Isaiah 3. And so in the Bible-defined sense, what we're seeing, to go right along with the end of reading, the end of history, we're seeing the end of men, the end of women, and the end of well-adjusted, obedient, submissive children. And what happens when you have the end of all that? Well, our very society unravels. The fabric holding everything together is just ripped apart. Who can find a virtuous woman? That's what God says. for her price is far above rubies. She's so valuable. She's virtuous. She's beautiful. She's supportive. She's a hard worker. Read the rest of Proverbs 31. She's a hard worker. She clothes her children. She travels far and wide for the sake of the family. She's up early looking after the kids. Her husband, for his part, he's known in the gates. So he's a contributor to society. He's a man's man. He's a man the way God defines him to be. And she's there fulfilling her role. Smart, talented, hardworking, virtuous character, submissive, supportive. Who can find a woman like this? A virtuous woman. They're very rare. God said that through Solomon. If God said it 3,000 years ago, what would he say today? The heart of her husband, verse 11, does safely trust in her so that he shall have no need of spoil. She's dependable. She's trustworthy. She's honest. She's intelligent. Verse 12 says, she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She will do him good, not evil, for her entire life. She's that committed. She's that devoted. She's that faithful. Down in verse 26, notice this. She opens her mouth with wisdom. This is not some uneducated, you know, barefooted woman that's just giving birth to children all the time. She's highly educated. She opens her mouth and out comes wisdom. And in her tongue is the law of kindness. She builds the family. She teaches and trains those future God beings, those future princes and princesses. If you look over at Psalm 45, read that sometime and see how important that role of the mother is. My father said in a sermon, and we've played a clip of him speaking to youths, young people, in the 1990s, warning them. You saw it on the Key of David this past weekend. Warning them about Satan the devil, the god of this world, who wants to twist and distort and destroy the family. And this is what he said at camp in 97. I didn't have time to get the clip, but he said, in that family, when the children come along, you can shape them and mold them and make them into princes and princesses. And the feminists moan and groan today because, well, that would take away your career. That would destroy your ambitions in life. That would ruin your life. You'd be shackled down to those kids. Oh, those kids, what a curse children are. Look at how many people today, more and more of them, they don't even want to have kids. Too much of a burden. It's too much work. I don't have time. If you're home with the children shaping and molding, as my wife was, as my father talking about, my mother, are shaping our children into the leaders that they are today and into kings and priests helping God in that way. And if you want to compare that with a man going out and laying bricks all day long, I think that makes your job look, well, pretty amazing, pretty wonderful. I think it makes the role of a woman look terrific. It is. God said it is. God said it in Genesis 2, in Proverbs 31. Look at the women involved in Christ's life. Beautiful women, submissive women, hardworking women, assisting Christ, his traveling party. It's the way God intended for it to be. Dwell with them according to knowledge. What happens when you don't dwell with them according to God's knowledge? Well, there's another verse that says God's people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. For lack of God's knowledge, that is. That's Hosea 4 and verse 6. And you see that. You see that happening to God's church, spiritual Israel, and you see it happening in our nations. My father writes in his Hosea booklet about Hosea 4:6, they had the knowledge or truth of God revealed to them, then they rejected it. They had God's law, kept it, and then they forgot it. He says only God's church understands his revealed truth in these latter days. Only God's church has been given and has kept his law, but now it has forgotten the law. This is the greatest tragedy of all. The nations of Israel, the physical nations, we've never, nationally speaking, we've never had our minds open to the God family vision. But there was a time when we certainly understood the roles of men and women. Tocqueville, the Frenchman that came over here in the 1800s, he even wrote about it. He said, as far as America goes, one of the main reasons that they're such a big, prosperous, powerful nation is because of their women. It's because of the way American women understand their roles. What would a traveling French philosopher say about America today if he were to go across the country? And if he was just examining, you know, everything that's good and right about America, everything that's wrong with it, and then he got into the family, he started looking at marriage, he started looking at, well, gender. What would he come away from? Or what would he come away with? If he were just giving his observations, his assessment of why America is the way it is, God says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. I've got all these stories in the stack, and I can see I'm running out of time. But here you've got people in the UK sounding the alarm, not just about inviting barbarians into the country that are raping women and daughters, but you've got elites at the Home Office warning parents about giving devices to your children because of how dangerous the internet is. Mr. Hilliker wrote about this in the Morning Brief. It's too dangerous. Says at least one guy that's got enough common sense left to say you give them unrestricted access to a smartphone and predators are going to come after your children. And there's cases in the, it's happening by the hundreds every day, I think it is. And then you've got all the rape, the grooming gangs, inviting in the world of Islam, and then pretending everything's okay. No, we're multicultural. Everything's perfect. It's just like people at the WNBA game. Listen, don't mind the fact that all of these women are certainly not the women described in Ephesians 5. Let's just put it that way. But it's perfectly normal. It's a perfect reflection of our society. So just deal with it. Just accept it. You don't want to be way behind the times. You don't want to be stuck in 1 Peter 3:7, certainly not. So just embrace deviant lifestyles. And someone that would dare speak out against it, well, blot them out. Destroy them. Destroy the lone voice if you can. The family structure, the family foundation, it's tumbling down. It's tumbled down, for sure. There's an article in here about what should be, again, basic. Well, I guess hopefully I'll come to it at some point. First, though, the sickness in particular within Britain. It says it's not safe for children to go online. The head of the National Crime Agency has warned. He's the head of the crime agency. He's dealing with crime. And he's telling British families it's not safe for your children to go online. Now, I keep making the point, all of the sickness that we've seen from the internet, from social media, from unrestricted access to devices, and we haven't even dealt with any of that, and now we are headfirst into artificial intelligence. As if nothing bad can happen. Talk about a big gamble. The world is all in, like we said at the trumpet. It's all in on something so dangerous, on something we know so little about. The head of Britain's FBI has spoken out as terrifying figures reveal up to 900 cases of, I said 400, I got that wrong, 900 cases of suspected child sexual exploitation that are flagged every day. Every day. This is in the UK. 900 cases. In a damning indictment, Mr. Bigar said the county had already failed two generations of teenagers, adding, enough is enough. So here's the head of the National Crime Agency saying, listen, we've got an epidemic on our hands. Enough is enough. The internet's not safe for your children. His investigators are receiving an average of 400 reports a day. This is the figure I was thinking of. Regarding the abuse of British children, a fourfold increase in just 7 years. So 7 years, this takes us back to the glory days of COVID scaremongering. When, if anything, children and adults alike just were immersed all the more so into devices and the internet and social media. And we're 7 years on from it. And it's four times worse. 400 reports a day regarding the abuse of British children. What are we doing to our children? Our daughters, our sons. What are we doing to our women? Here God calls them the weaker vessel, and we're exposing them to all of these stronger vessels just pouring in from Muslim countries. Let's just call it what it is. And they're preying on the weaker vessels. As millions of parents are considering whether to buy their children smartphones ahead of the school year, starting next month, the crime agency boss said he wanted to send a message to families. The online environment in its current form is not safe for children. But hey, don't worry. We've got artificial intelligence coming on the scene. What a neighborhood. What an environment the internet is turning out to be. What a vicious attack it's turning out to be against marriage and family, against women, against men. Enough is enough, he's quoted as saying. We've already failed two generations of teenagers by abandoning them to the dangers of social media without any form of safety net. There's no way out. There's no course correction. We're not dealing with all the sickness, all the disease, all the dangers. They just get worse. Four times worse in the last 7 years, flagging 900 incidents a day, just in Britain. It says later on, we assess there are about 700,000 to 840,000 adults in the UK who pose some degree of sexual risk to children. 800,000 adults who pose a risk, who are considered dangerous. How do you fix this? How do you correct this kind of a sickness, this kind of a disease? It says, and the referrals we're receiving are not only increasing in number, but also in severity. Yeah, and then you go over to the morning brief, and you see, as Mr. Hilliker covers there, there was a study from Brigham Young that said one in five American parents enforce none of even the most basic safeguards on their children's devices. Unrestricted access. Take the iPhone, little Johnny. little Susan, you're 9 today. Here's your new iPhone. You can have it. You can have access to anything on the internet, all the social media sites. You can go into the room, your bedroom with it. You can shut the door. You can scroll away all through the night. See what you find. That's the parenting. That's what passes for parenting, child rearing in today's world. Unrestricted access to this dangerous, dangerous neighborhood. Parents who wouldn't think, who wouldn't even have a passing thought of taking their children downtown in some big city area, just dropping them off in the middle of all these homeless shelters and saying, hey, have a good night. And yet we hand them these devices and say, here you go. No restrictions, no boundaries, anything goes. There's lots of predators. You could be preyed upon. You could be groomed for a sexual gang somewhere. This article says, God is deeply angered by the abuse and exploitation of children. This really upsets God. The abuse and the exploitation of our women. Same thing. What does God think of this? What does God think about all this sexual abuse? What does God think about 840,000 people, mostly men, I presume, in Great Britain who pose a threat or a dangerous risk to children? God is deeply angered by this. He expects parents and other authorities to protect the most defenseless among us. Did you hear this? This is a responsibility. This is an obligation that every parent has. We are here to protect the weaker, more defenseless members of the family, members of society. It's okay to say that. Predatory behavior rouses his wrath, as does parental negligence. The proverb says, a child left to himself brings his mother to shame. Richard Palmer had an article back in August of 2023 about the modern-day practice of child sacrifice. Just offering your children, basically offering your children to the devil. In his way, his society, his world. What a weighty responsibility we have. This other article from the Brussels Signal. Britain's grooming gangs scandal exposes a state afraid of facts. Keep in mind, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. There is a more general application to our nations. It's applying to spiritual Israel, primarily, Hosea 4:6. But here we are, even when you see the dangers just pouring into the country, even when you see the devastating impact it has on those that are more defenseless against these kinds of threats from barbarians, we just hide from the fact. We run from the facts. We run from the truth, from the knowledge, and we pretend everything's okay. Listen to this clip from Talk TV, clip 5.
£500,000 a day, £185 million last year, to sort of move illegal migrants around the country. You know, this sort of, you know, this sticky plaster. Let's move them from hotels to HMOs to wherever. I don't buy, by the way, the government have said that. That's also for detaining them, because we don't detain any illegal migrants. These bills are ludicrous. £185,000 for that, £100,000 for interpreters. We talk about this every single day, but I really am at a point where I don't think the politicians totally understand the depth, the increasing depth of anger at this ridiculous drain on our resources. And I don't know, you know, whether it's just rhetoric, but unless somebody does something very soon, this is going to boil. It is going to continue to boil because it's so unfair.
It's worse than turning a blind eye to this problem. Here you have the authorities spending taxpayer dollars, or pounds in this case, hundreds of millions a year, and spreading these illegal aliens, these illegal migrants, just spreading them all over the country. We've got to do it. It's the humane thing to do. Look at the way the socialist leader of Spain justified people just pouring into Ceuta. It's compassionate. We're a compassionate people, so we invite the world in. And it doesn't matter what kind of danger that poses to our wives or our daughters, because we've given them pamphlets. Listen to clip 6.
There are hordes of male migrants hanging around, leering at women, drinking, smoking. You can see it a mile off. It's changing our country. It's changing our society. That is not far right. That is a factual observation. And I don't know what the answer is, but they need to do something.
And they won't. They won't. They're just standing around, leering at women, drinking, smoking, just waiting for their opportunity to pounce on the weakest among us. And again, I don't say weakest, certainly not in the sense of character, just in the way God designed things at the biological level, at the gender level. It used to be that men, real men, as you heard in the cold open, would defend our beaches from invading influence, from invading armies. It used to be that way. Not so much anymore. One more from Talk TV, clip 7.
And this is what I find, Benedict, so ironic. All the feminists, the left-wingers, all the do-gooders jump up and down and say, war-torn countries, they never say, geez, our women and children are at risk here. There is definitive proof that they're at risk. They throw at me like they did last week. Well, white men rape women too. Like, that's some sort of justification. It's ludicrous.
Ridiculous reasoning. Godless reasoning. The Brussels Signal says the indisputable fact is that over the past 30 years, scores of thousands of vulnerable young girls have been molested and raped, effectively kidnapped and otherwise abused, and inadequate attention has been given to this horrible scandal. Fear of embarrassment and the stigma of young girls having been so mistreated has stifled some complaints. But the police and municipal authorities especially are frequently intimidated into inaction and silence by representatives of the Islamic communities and especially those of Pakistani descent. Can't talk about it. Otherwise, you're Islamophobic. Otherwise, you hate Muslims. So just blot out the facts. My people, God says, are destroyed for lack of knowledge. They're blotting out the truth. They're casting the truth to the ground. They're burying the truth. They're ashamed of the truth. They're embarrassed by the truth. And what does God think? Just like Mr. Hilliker asked in the trumpet brief, what does God think of this? What we're doing to our women and our daughters? What we're allowing our women and our daughters to go through? In December 2017, a think tank that's generally regarded as somewhat anti-Islamist reported that 84% of offenders in these cases were South Asians, which, though it includes India and Sri Lanka, in fact essentially meant Pakistani. But you can't talk about that. You can't bring that up. It's just like that movie. I forget the guy's name, but he made the movie about all that child sex trafficking that goes on, and it's like people don't want to talk about it. It's so grotesque. It's so perverse. It's so violent. And it abuses children, of all things. And so what do? We'll just pretend it's not happening. Just act like it's not happening. All of these silent killers. And it just goes on. We allow it. These are all signs of just how sick we are as a society. And if you believe the Bible, as you should, you can read Hosea 4:6 and see where it's leading. The National Audit on Group-Based Child Sexual Exploitation and Abuse, published in June 2025, claimed that there was insufficient data to come to any conclusions at national level about the ethnic identity of perpetrators, though the subject warranted closer examination. So hey, we'll look into it again. We'll carry out another report. We'll have another congressional hearing. We'll get to the bottom of this. We're the leaders. You know, we're in Parliament. We're in Congress. We know how to get to the bottom of this. It says, this absurd and platitudinous observation from a government-backed and well-funded inquiry highlighted the fact that in addition to a pandemic of horrible abuse and exploitation of minors for depraved sexual reasons and on an apparently highly profitable basis, there's a further and in some respects even more disquieting problem of official fear, verging on cold terror, and afflicting not only local governments, but the government of the United Kingdom. To lay bare the nature and proportions of this problem and equip and motivate the country to impose the measures necessary to resolve and to terminate it. We just cannot get rid of sin. We just cannot put it away. We can't put the evil away. Evil men and seducers wax worse and worse. So here's God's, not just his assessment, this is his prediction. 2 Timothy 3:13. The evil men and seducers, not just to take one societal ill, actual evil men seducing women, pouring into our nations, it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. That's the truth. This one here from the Epoch Times. This is the last story I'll have time for, but it says family structure determines kids' success in school more than race or income, say the researchers. Well, I mean, you could have found that out just looking at a few basic scriptures, but at least they're talking about the value of family. So we'll give them credit for that. But I'm old enough to remember Herbert Armstrong saying, the family is the foundation of any strong, stable society. Of course, he wrote about that in Missing Dimension and other pieces of literature as well. It's the very foundation of a strong, stable society. It says, while universities debate whether to skip standardized admissions tests, and the University of Michigan waives first-term grades for some incoming students, new research suggests that relaxing standards might not be the best way to help kids who are struggling in school. This is what we're doing, though, right across the board. Let's relax the standards. Let's remove the discipline. Let's take away the grades. Let's take away all forms of punishment. Let's turn it into an absolute Wild West free-for-all. That's been man's way. See it on the internet. Now you're seeing it in schools. You see it in the family. It says a new report based on data collected from grade school students by this other group focused on how kids performed in school and what they said about their home life. The report found that family structure is more powerful, a more powerful predictor of school problems, academic performance, and depression than our race and poverty. I often talk to our students about family, and you know, they get to be upperclassmen, and they take a course that we have here called Marriage and Family. It's required, by the way. Marriage and family. And we go through the Ten Commandments. We go through that in doctrines, even in greater detail. But here are, in the case of upperclassmen, they're 20, 21, 22 years of age, and I've had so many of them over the years tell me how much their relationship with their parents improved even as they were here at college. Imagine a college in this world that's working with not even small children, but young people, mostly between the ages of 18 and 22. Imagine a college actually working to reinforce, to build up, to strengthen, and to promote family, even in your own family, even though you're now moved out. Is it really possible in the world of today to go off to college at the age of 18 and love your parents and your family more deeply? Well, it is at God's college. I'll just say that. That's not what other colleges are actively promoting and celebrating. What they're promoting and celebrating are deviant lifestyles, upside-down sports leagues, provocative language that really targets fathers or men. The Department of Education's nation's report card sorts results by race, sex, or income, but it ignores family structures, even though it's been collecting data on that factor since 2013. They know how important, the people that collect all this information, they know how important the family foundation is. But in some cases, again, the Epoch Times is getting at a kernel of truth here, but in other cases, you've got these elites in government, in education, that are just pretending that the influence of a solid family structure doesn't really apply here. So we just omit that from our analysis. We omit that from our report. Just because that's the way we are. If it's there to promote the traditional family, the value of family, the value of fathers, the value of mothers, we're here to promote the opposite. So we'll talk about money, we'll talk about race, we'll talk about all those things. But we won't talk about the family as God defined it to be. What a shame. The study reported that 74% of children from intact married parent families achieved top grades compared with 60% of children from other family structures. The IFS's findings come at a time when data increasingly indicates that many American children are struggling in school, and looking at grades may not even show the full picture. They're struggling because the home life is dysfunctional. And newsflash, that affects their academics. That affects their ability to just blend in with other young people, to submit to and listen to the instructor, the teacher. If you're unruly at home, what are you going to be in the classroom? These are basics. This used to be common sense. That's why it's so sad. This says here, the IFS report states that family trends in America are tilting in a slightly positive direction, however. The proportion of American children living in married families hit a low point of 64% in 2012 and has increased to 66% as of 2024. 2% increase, 2% improvement. The only place to get 100% improvement, growth, is at God's college, in God's family, as I say. Even as you mature physically, even as you get older physically, you can actually be grounded in the truth of God or become more grounded in the Holy Bible and what God defines as roles in marriage and family, and come to appreciate and love marriage and family even more as you mature physically, mentally, and of course, most importantly, spiritually. That's all we have time for on today's show, the fastest moving hour in broadcasting. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Thanks for joining us today, and we'll see you tomorrow.